Now, in preceding lectures, we've presented some fairly elementary methods for creating measures, and now we're going to have a more sophisticated technique. We're actually going to construct a Lebesgue measure from the operation of measuring lengths of intervals. And we're going to use the concept here of outer measure, which we've actually seen before, but we're going to see it now in a more abstract context. So we will begin by defining an algebra, which is something a bit weaker than a sigma algebra. Namely, a sigma algebra respects countable unions, while an algebra only respects finite The good thing about an algebra is it's very easy to specify a measure on an algebra. Then we will explain how one could construct a sigma algebra that contains the algebra, and finally we extend the measure from the algebra to the sigma algebra. And this is the way that we will now explicitly construct a Lebesgue measure. And this is all based on ideas of Constantine Karatheodori, who was a great Greek mathematician who lived 100 or so years ago. So let's define the length of a bounded interval of the form AB, where the left endpoint and the right endpoint can be included or not included, and the length of such an interval is, not surprisingly, B minus A. And the length of an interval of the form minus infinity b or b infinity, of course, is just plus infinity. We will denote the length of a set S by L of S, script L of S. And this idea is illustrated in the next two figures. So, definition, if we have finitely many pairwise disjoint intervals of the form of the above form, then the length of their union is defined to be the sum of the lengths of the component intervals. This aggregate length could be finite or it could be infinite. So no surprises there. So now we define the notion of an algebra. Let X be a given set, a family capital script A of subsets of X is called an algebra or a field if the empty set and the entire set X both belong to capital script A. Secondly, if E belongs to A, then its complement X take away E also belongs to A. And finally, if E1 through EK belong to A, then their union belongs to A. So again, an algebra differs from a sigma algebra primarily because an algebra only respects finite unions. Now we're going to do something that is a little bit unusual and perhaps maybe at first confusing, but you'll get used to it. So a measure on an algebra will be a scalar-valued function that respects countable unions. So that's a little strange because the algebra itself only respects finite unions, but the measure will respect countable unions. So here's how the definition goes. Let capital script A be an algebra of subsets of a set X. A measure on A is a function mu from A to the extended real satisfying A, the measure of the empty set is zero, B, the measure of any set is bigger than or equal to zero for any set in capital script A, and C, if EJ is a sequence of pairwise disjoint sets in capital script A, so that the union of the EJs belongs to the algebra A, then mu of the union of the EJs equals the sum of the measures of the EJs. So notice that in this definition that we had to hypothesize that the union of the EJs lies in capital script A because capital script A doesn't res automatically respect countable unions, only finite unions. Lemma, the collection capital script F of all finite unions of intervals as described above is an algebra of subsets of the reals and length is a measure on capital script F. Proof is pretty easy. It is apparent that capital script F is an algebra. If we use little script L to denote the length function, then parts A and B of the definition are obvious. To prove part C, it suffices to show that if one of the sets of the form discussed above is the union of a countable pairwise disjoint collection of sets of this form, then the lengths add up correctly. We will only treat intervals of the form AB where the left endpoint A is missing and the right point B is included. Just to give you the idea of how this works, and you can think about the other possibilities yourself. Here's a picture showing a union of a bunch of such intervals. So suppose now that AB, where A is missing and B is included, equals the union from J equals 1 to infinity of AJ BJ, where AJ is missing and BJ is included, and that the intervals AJ BJ are pairwise disjoint. The figure illustrates this idea. Let A1 B1, A2 B2 through AK BK be any finite collection of such intervals, and suppose that A is less than or equal to A1, less than B1, less than or equal to A2, less than B2, less than or equal to dot dot dot, less than or equal to AK minus 1, less than BK minus 1, less than or equal to AK, less than BK, less than or equal to B. We might need to renumber the indices to achieve this setup, but that's simply a formality, nothing to worry about. And now we see that the summation from j equals 1 to k of the length of aj bj is equal to the summation from j equals 1 to k of bj minus aj, of course, which is less than or equal to bk minus a1, where we have simply collapsed the series, and that's less than or equal to b minus a, which is the length of ab. Since the index k is arbitrary, we conclude that the summation from j equals 1 to infinity of the length of AJBJ is less than or equal to the length of AB. Conversely, let epsilon be bigger than 0. Let epsilon j be a sequence of positive numbers with summation epsilon j less than epsilon over 2. And consider now the intervals LJ, which are the open intervals AJ minus epsilon j comma BJ plus epsilon j for j in the natural numbers. We see that the open sets IJ that I just defined form a covering of the compact interval AB, so there's a finite subcovering, I sub 1, I sub 2, through I sub m. And by renumbering and discarding some possibly extra intervals, we may assume that A1 minus epsilon 1 is less than A, B is less than BM plus epsilon m, and AJ minus epsilon J is less than BJ minus 1 plus epsilon J minus 1 for J equals 2 through m. It follows from these inequalities that B minus A is less than or equal to BM plus epsilon M minus A1 take away epsilon 1, which is less than or equal to summation J equals 1 to M BJ plus epsilon J minus AJ minus epsilon J, which is less than or equal to summation J equal 1 to M BJ minus AJ plus epsilon, because the sum of the epsilon J's is less than epsilon over 2. And this is less than or equal to summation bj minus aj for j equals 1 to infinity bj minus aj plus epsilon. Since epsilon bigger than 0 was arbitrary, we see that the length of b minus of ab is less than or equal to summation j equals 1 to infinity length of aj bj. And combining this inequality with the inequality proved in the first half of the proof, we may conclude that the length function L is countably additive on F. And that, my friends, is the end of today's lecture. See you next time.